We're turning to the Word of God this evening, to the book of Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. We're coming to the end of the chapter at verse 14. And so it's Isaiah chapter 28, the verse number 14. And we're going to hear the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come on to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. And he, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, let your hands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Amen, and God will bless the reading of his precious word. Let's keep the word open, and let's just seek the Lord for a brief time that God will help in the preaching of the word this evening. Our loving Father, we come before thee. We thank thee, O God, that where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And Lord, we rejoice, O God, that thou art ever in the midst of thy church. Thou art, O God, the central and the preeminent attraction. And we cry, O God, that thou wilt take to thyself the preeminent place. Grant all hearts to be directed to thee. We pray especially for the unconverted, the unsaved, the unregenerate. We cry, O God, that tonight would be the night that they may be born again of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, turned from the broad way, and their feet would begin to walk the narrow way, the way that leads to heaven, the way that leads to home. And so bless us, fill me with thy Spirit, I pray, and grant us help as we make our way through the message. For I pray this, my prayer, in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I think that there is no place on earth outside the house of God like your own home, and especially your own bed. A man used to tell me when I said that I needed my sleep, he would say to me, "Brother," he said, "there's more people die in their beds than any other place in the world." Now, where he got his information from, I'm not that sure, but his advice to me at least was to keep out of bed as much as you can, for you're more likely to die there than anywhere else in the world. Now, I would say that there are some people in this house, they like their beds a little bit too much. It takes a little bit more than one call from a parent, a mother or a father in the morning, or even a spouse, to get them up out of their beds and motivated to face a new day. Now, there's nothing worse than going to a hotel or going to a bed and breakfast or going to some guest house And the bed that you're assigned is either uncomfortable or too short. That happened to me this week, or this year at the minister's week of prayer. When I made my way to bed, I found that my feet were sticking out the other end of the bed as I stretched myself out. The bed was too short. I wasn't the only man there that suffered such hardship. My brother-in-law, who is much taller than I am, 6'3" tall, had the same difficulty. What hardships we must go through at the minister's week of prayer. I thought about that. Imagine standing behind the Apostle Paul on the day of judgment, and Paul recalls before God and the amassed ranks of humanity the hardships that he had to endure as a minister of Jesus Christ. 5 times beaten, 39 times, 3 times beaten with rods, 1 stone, 3 times suffered shipwreck, to name but a few. And then it's my turn. It's my turn to tell God what hardships I had to go through, and what would I say to him? Well, Lord, you know, there was that time at the minister's week of prayer in Armagh that my bed was just a little bit too short. You see, a short bed at the week of prayer is not the most trying of circumstances or hardships that any minister faces in the gospel ministry. Believe me, there are harder things that we have to endure. It was the image of a short bed that the inspired writer in Isaiah chapter 28 chose to depict the inadequacy of the efforts of men in Isaiah's day to evade and to avoid the impending judgment that was about to befall them for their sin. Those to whom Christ was speaking to through the prophet Isaiah were going to find out that their places of defense, their means of protection, were going to be inadequate to secure and to shield them from the judgment that was about to come. When Isaiah penned the words recorded in verse 20, "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it," he was showing to those people simply that all of their trusted refuges, all of their trusted shelters, all of the means that they were employing for their safety and for their protection, all their efforts to cover and secure themselves were going to be proven to be insufficient in the face of God's judgment for sin. We only but have to consider the fury of God's wrath and the inadequacy of man's efforts to withstand that wrath, as we see in the verses 20 leading up to our text, the verses 17 and 18. "The heel," God said, "shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it." It is within the context then of coming judgment that Isaiah took this picture of a short bed and a narrow covering to alert his hearers of their unpreparedness for the day of God's judgment and the day of the wrath of the Lamb. Tonight I want us to take then the words of Isaiah 28, the verse number 20, as our text. I want to apply these truths to you in the gospel in a message that I've entitled "Short Beds and Narrow Blankets." Short beds and narrow blankets. I say, sinner, to you, there is a day of judgment coming to this earth. God's hourglass is counting down to the end of the ages. Someday will be earth's final day. And on that day, God will appear. And at his appearing, he will take vengeance on them that obey not God, that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And sinner, that means that he's going to take vengeance on you. Now you might comfort yourself with delusional hopes that all will be well for you, but such will not be the case. Because you're going to find on that day that what you're trusting in for refuge, will be swept away and will be proven to be nothing more than a short bed and a narrow blanket. And so for the remaining moments of this meeting, we simply want to consider that short beds and narrow blankets. We want to consider what the sinner is trusting in, foolishly trusting then in to see them through the judgment. Consider then firstly with me short beds. It's very simple tonight. Now when I think about a bed, I think first of all, I think about a place of rest. A bed is an item of furniture upon which we are able to rest our weary bodies. Every Lord's Day, whenever we were children, we were always sent to bed on the Lord's Day afternoon. That's what we had to do. We had to go to bed. If we were to go to the gospel evening service, then we were sent to bed. And I used to hate it. I used to protest, but I don't sleep. To which there came the parental reply, "You may not sleep, but at least you're resting your body." Typical parent answer. The bed was being suggested to us as a place of rest. A place of rest. I want to consider three things, three questions in relation to this matter of a short bed and the rest that the sinner seeks. The first question that we want to consider then is what short beds sinners are resting upon that are going to be found wholly inadequate on Judgment Day. What short beds are sinners resting upon that will be found inadequate on Judgment Day? I'll suggest to you a number of short beds. There is, first of all, the short bed of a sinner's own righteousness. The short bed of a sinner's own righteousness. King Solomon said in Proverbs 20, the verse number 6, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." You see, the sinner has no difficulty, no problem in informing the gospel preacher or the Christian worker of their own goodness when confronted with the biblical fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Such people are aghast at any suggestion that their own righteousness is deemed unacceptable before God. They see themselves as morally upright individuals, and they are certainly not bashful when it comes to listing all their good qualities that they possess within their own lines. Such feel that their righteousness, their self-righteousness, must carry some weight, must carry some merit with God. And yet the sinner who is trusting in their own righteousness is going to find out that it's a short bed. It's going to be a place where they're not going to find the rest that they are seeking for. Gospel rest. Salvation's rest. They're going to find that the ground of their own righteousness is not the ground upon which they can rest their souls upon for God's great eternity. I must remind you again, if I need to do it, but I remind you again, sinner, that God has declared your righteousness to be an affront and to be an offense to Him. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. This is God's verdict with respect to self-righteousness. The Puritan Thomas Adams was correct when he said, "Self-righteousness is the devil's masterpiece to make us think well of ourselves." Self-righteousness is the devil's masterpiece to make us think well of them, of ourselves. But Titus 3 verse 5 deals a fatal blow to all who are trusting in their own righteousness for salvation. Because in Titus 3 verse 5 I read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Salvation is bestowed upon the sinner, not upon the grounds of human merit, but thank God on the grounds of God's mercy. not on the ground of human mercy or merit, but on the ground of God's mercy. Seek His mercy, sinner. Seek God's mercy. And in doing so, cast away all your confidence in your own righteousness. And if you will do that, if you will cast away all your confidence in your own righteousness, you will find that Jesus Christ will hide your unrighteousness in His righteousness, a righteousness that has fully satisfied God. The short bed of your own self-righteousness. Another short bed that the sinner will find inadequate on Judgment Day is the short bed of the sinner's religious affiliations and performances. Many a sinner pride themselves in their affiliation, their association, their connection with some church or denomination. I have my own church. You'll hear that whenever you knock a door and try to speak to an individual about God's salvation. That is often the reply, I have my own church. But I remind you that an affiliation, an association, a connection with a church, even this church, will be found to be a short bed on Judgment Day. Others, they rest on their baptism. They rest on their confirmation, their participation in Holy Communion, their church membership, some office that they hold within a particular church, the performance of all the religious rites and rituals set down by their church. But again, I remind you from the Word of God that these will be found to be wholly inadequate resting places on the Day of Judgment. Now, sinner, you might pride yourself in your association with this church. You might pride yourself on coming to a gospel preaching church like this, but your affiliation to this denomination will not get you into heaven. Understand it. Just because you come along here Sunday night after Sunday night and we thank God for you does not mean that you're going to get into God's heaven. Maybe you think that your adherence to the rites of the church are in some way meritorious with God, but that is not the case. I tell you, sinner, you need to recognize that only an association with Jesus Christ, only a saving relationship with the Son of God, the Redeemer of men, the Christ of God, will see you safely into God's heaven. That's who you need to be associated with. The Christ of God. You need to understand. You need to understand that only what Christ did on the cross of Calvary is sufficient to meet and to satisfy the just demands of a holy God and reconcile you to God. You must come to that understanding. It is my prayer that you'll do so. And that you'll fly to Christ. That you'll flee to Christ for salvation. Because now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. The short bed of religious affiliation and performances. The third short bed that the sinner will find inadequate on Judgment Day is the short bed of the sinner's own works. The sinner's own works. Self-help is a concept that is widely propagated in this world today. Shelves in libraries, shelves in bookstores are crammed full with books that promise to empower an individual in order that they might overcome certain things, overcome their anxiety, overcome their fear, overcome worry, overcome low morale. Others deal with the ability, self-help, with respect to weight loss, with obesity, with stress, with depression, to name but a few. And all of this feeds into the mind of the sinner, who feels then that they can help themselves with respect to any matter. Just as long as I buy a book off the shelf, I, in and of myself, have the ability to help myself in the situation that I find myself in. And it feeds into the mindset of the sinner this thought of self-help, even when it comes to a man or woman's relationship with God. Now, the most common course of action that a man or woman takes to try and help themselves spiritually is the performance of good works. And yet God reminds us again in His Word. He reminds men and women, boys and girls, are not saved by works, but rather by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is the gift of God, salvation, eternal life. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2, the verse 8 and 9. Not according to the works of my own righteousness, I've quoted it before, Titus 3, verse number 5, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he put it like this: you might as well hope to get to heaven by flying up in a balloon as to get there by your own good works. You may as soon sail to India in a sieve as to get to glory by your own goodness. In other words, it's impossible. It's impossible to try and bridge the gap between you and holy God. Now, sinner, you might be able to help yourself when it comes to your fears. You might be able to help yourself when it comes to your anxiety. You might be able to help yourself in some way when it comes to your stress. You might be able to help yourself with respect to your weight loss or whatever else you care to mention. But whenever it comes to salvation from sin, when it comes to salvation from hell, the sinner is found wholly inadequate, wholly unable to help themselves in that which really matters. Wholly incapable. Totally incapable, totally depraved, is the state of man's heart. And so the choice is simple, sinner. The choice is simple. Do you trust in your work, or do you trust in Christ's finished work for your salvation from sin? To rest on your own works will be found a short bed, a place of no rest, on the day when Christ appears. Rest then on Christ's finished work. Rely upon it, because it will be that will bring the peace of God and eventually will bring you into the presence of God, the finished work of Christ. The second question that we want to consider as we think about this matter of a short bed and the rest that the sinner seeks is, what short beds does the sinner find insufficient now to provide the rest they desire? What short bed does the sinner find insufficient now to provide the rest they desire? You know, the sinner in this world will try many a bed in order to find rest. They will try many a bed to find the rest they crave for their troubled soul and for their guilty conscience. But as they jump and hop from bed to bed, they will find that none will afford the rest that they long for. How many have tried to find rest on the short bed of pleasure? They've jumped into that bed and they're hoping to find in the bed of pleasure a place of rest, a place of peace, where the bed of pleasure may provide rest and ease for the troubled soul for a little time. Sinner's pleasures will flee, and they will be exposed for what they are, unsatisfying and unfulfilling. Maybe you're in that bed tonight. Maybe you're in the bed of pleasure. Earth's pleasures are all that you live for. But what will the world's pleasures avail you? Pleasures that only last for a season, if an eternity, because of your sin, you miss the pleasures that are at God's right hand. What will they avail you if you miss those pleasures? For in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Which pleasures do you want? Earth's, heaven's. If you want heaven's pleasure, you're going to have to forsake the world's pleasures. You're going to have to abandon the world's pleasures. Be like Moses, who looked to him who was invisible, and say in your heart that them pleasures are only but for a season. Have recompense to the greater reward, a reward that lies in heaven. Wonder, have you been trying to stretch yourself upon the bed of pleasure? You're going to find that the bed's too short. Seek then the pleasures that come from God alone. Pardon for sin. Peace with God. Those are pleasurable. Maybe tonight you're not resting on the short bed of pleasure. But maybe tonight you're in this house and you're trying to find rest upon the short bed of possessions. You've gathered to yourself money. You've gathered to yourself cars, motorbikes, property, business, jewelry, land, livestock, all in a hope that such will satisfy the restless soul. But you find, like Solomon found, that everything under the sun is nothing but vanity and emptiness. Possessions come and go, but Christ, the pearl of great price, is the abiding treasure of his people. Oh, that tonight that you would see the vanity of the world's possessions, become a possessor of eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord, to possess everything, but that to lie on a short bed. Maybe you're not trying to lie on the short bed of pleasure or possessions, but maybe you're trying to find rest on the short bed of position. You know, many in this world, they make it their life's ambition to reach the top of some organization, to scale the corporate ladder, to be voted into some position of influence within a nation, only to find that whenever they do so, there's nothing fulfilling in it. The positions the world offers is but another of life's short beds. Sinner, instead of you concerning yourself with the world's positions, you'd be wiser to concern yourself with the position that you have in relation to Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you without Christ? That's the position that you need to concern yourself with this evening. Come to Christ. Walk the Calvary road. Be in Christ. Be safe and secure. Now, there is a third question that needs to be considered as we think about this matter of a short bed and the rest that the sinner seeks, and it is this: where? Where can the sinner find true and lasting rest? The bed is an item of furniture for rest. The sinner seeks such rest, but where is such rest to be found? Just as the dove in Noah's day found no rest for the sole of her foot in the world, we're told that, Genesis 8, the verse number 9, so the sinner will ever be a restless being in this world until they enter into their heavenly Noah. What does Noah mean? Rest. Rest. Until they come to know the heavenly Noah, the Savior of the world, until they enter into the ark of salvation, the sinner will be forever like the dove, a restless being in this world. Isaiah speaks of the sinner's restlessness. Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea that it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And yet rest is held out to you, the sinner in the gospel. It's held out to the restless one in the gospel. How well known those words are from the Savior. How many times we have heard them rehearsed in our hearing. And yet how wonderful and how blessed and how comforting they are to the restless, troubled, and sinful soul. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Gospel rest. Sinner, do you know anything about it? Gospel rest. You may have heard of it, but have you come to experience it in your own life? Is your soul resting on Christ this very moment? Because I remind you that if you feel to find rest in Christ, if you feel to rest your soul on Christ on this side of the grave, you're going to find on the other side of the grave that there is no rest for you. As John surveyed the occupants of hell, there in the book of the Revelation 14, the verse 11, he made this very observation: the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. No rest on the other side of the grave for the unconverted. No rest for the Christ denier. No rest for the Christ rejecter. No rest for the individual that spurned the gospel. No rest for the one who trampled the blood of Christ underfoot week after week. No rest who did despite unto the Spirit of grace, who tried to woo you unto himself. Sinner, no rest on the other side of the grave. Miss resting on Christ now, you miss eternal rest. The Sabbath rest. The rest that's for the child of God in heaven. There is a rest that remains for the people of God. Thank God for the rest in Christ. Oh sinner, rest your soul on the Savior. Come to Him and be restless no more. Having thought a little about the narrow beds that sinners foolishly rest upon, I want us to think briefly about narrow blankets. I want to think about the narrow blanket that the sinner finds himself trusting in. Blankets what will be found to be too narrow for them when the final day of reckoning comes. A bed is an item of rest. We have said that. But a blanket is more than that. It is an item of comfort. And it's also an item of covering. Now, some children have what is known as a comfort blanket. I'm sure you've heard of it. You maybe reared your own children. Where's my blanket? Maybe some of you still have it. I look at individuals who are up in years, and maybe you've still got your little comfort blanket hidden away somewhere that no one can see. It helps the child to get over to sleep, consoles them whenever they're upset, whenever they're afraid. It is a comforting thing, a blanket. It's also a thing to cover us. It's a very simple thought, isn't it? We need a blanket to cover us in the night, keeping us warm. Well, you know that there are some blankets that sinners try to cover themselves that give them false comfort. They give them a false covering. The covering is a little bit like the fig leaves that Adam and Eve tried to sow for themselves. Oh, it was a covering, but it did not hide their nakedness from God. It wasn't sufficient. It didn't come up to the standard that God had required it. I suggest to you a number I suggest that some sinners cover and comfort themselves with the narrow blanket of atheism. With atheism. To say that there is no God is to go against the voice of conscience, as well as the natural and special revelation that God has given to us concerning Him in creation and also in His written word. Yet some try to comfort themselves with the lie that there is no God, and therefore there is no judge of men, there is no judgment, there is no hell, there is no future punishment. Maybe I address someone in this house who does not believe in the existence of God, but I warn you on the basis of Scripture that you're covering yourself in a narrow blanket. A narrow blanket that will provide you no comfort when you go out to meet the God that you denied. When you go out to meet the God that you denied even existed, you're going to find that that blanket of atheism is going to be too narrow for you. It's not going to be a suitable covering. Others comfort and cover themselves in the narrow blanket of a profession of faith. A profession of faith. Now, to say that you are a Christian but to live in sin, just as you did prior to your profession of faith, I've said it before, I say it again, it is an insult to the saving grace of God. To say that you're a Christian but to live in sin as you did prior to your profession of faith is an insult to the saving grace of God. God's gospel, and it's God's gospel. God's gospel saves people who are in their sin out of their sin. That's what the gospel simply does. Now, whenever Paul listed the many sins of the Corinthian believers, he spoke of them in their past tense. And such were some of you. You once were fornicators. You once were idolaters. You once were idolaters. You once were effeminate. You once were abusers of yourselves with mankind, or homosexuals. You once were thieves. You once were covetous. You once were drunkards. You once were revelers. You once were extortioners, but now no longer. For ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God saves men and women out of their sin. And maybe you're in this house tonight and you've made some sort of profession of faith. But the reality of God is not in your life. You know not God. By your works you deny God. There has been no change within the soul and within the life, and I speak of those who have been long-term in sin and have trusted in Jesus Christ. I understand that a child may hurt their turning, their change may not be as great as others, but I'm saying that there will be a change. There will be desires after God. To only profess to know God will not suffice for you in the day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many mighty works in thy name? And God will say, I never knew you. And so to have just a blanket of a false profession, you're going to find yourself, sinner, on that day to be stripped naked of it all. And you're going to find that you've got no covering. You have nothing to cover you. I wonder tonight, are you trying to cover yourself in some profession of faith? Or that tonight you would get the genuine thing. Others cover and comfort themselves in the narrow blanket of a false apprehension of God. A false apprehension of God. Some sinners believe that God is too loving, too kind, too gracious, too merciful to deal with the sinner as He has threatened to deal with them in His Word. No, they believe that instead of punishing them for sin, God will welcome them by overlooking their sin into heaven. But such thinking is based on a false misapprehension, a false apprehension and understanding of the God of the Bible. Let me ask you, can a just, can a holy, can a true, can a righteous God overlook sin? God's justice, God's holiness, God's truthfulness, God's righteousness demands that He judges sin. Sinner, do not wrap yourself in the narrow blanket of a false apprehension of the God of the Bible, but face up. Face up to what God says about Himself. And deal with God on those grounds. That God is righteous and just. And God will judge the sinner. And God will pass punishment on your soul. Sinner, you need a covering. You need a covering for your sin. But any covering that you make for yourself is going to be like this blanket found in Isaiah 28 verse 20. It's going to be too narrow. Whatever blanket you try to manufacture for yourself is going to be found to be a narrow blanket. But I am here to tell you, I am here to tell you in the gospel that there is one blanket. There is one garment. There is one covering that is never too narrow. Even for the greatest, even for the biggest sinner in this meeting, that garment is never too narrow. What is the garment? It's found in God's wardrobe, and it's called the robe of righteousness. The perfect righteousness of Christ. That's the covering that the sinner needs. That's the covering that you need. Tonight in the gospel, God freely offers to you that covering. But my question is this: will you be covered by His righteousness? If so, then you'll be able to say with Isaiah the prophet, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. How did He provide for us that robe? How did He provide for us that covering? This is how. He was stripped naked on the cross of Calvary. All His garments were taken from off Him as He hung in naked shame before the ranks of humanity. There on Calvary's cross, Christ became the sin bearer. And He worked out for us righteousness. And by that, He provides for us a robe of righteousness. He became naked so that I might be covered. He was derobed that I might be robed. He covers me in His righteousness. Tonight, I trust in His righteousness. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me doth plead. Because I need no other argument, and I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Does tonight find you resting on some short bed, inadequate to give the rest that you crave for your troubled soul? Does this evening find you trying to comfort yourself, trying to cover yourself with some narrow blanket, whatever it be. Tonight, rest on Christ. Rest on Him. Be comforted by and be covered in His righteousness. And you will find that whenever judgment comes, that you will have a place of refuge. You'll have a place of safety. And it will be found in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Is the bed too short? Is the blanket too narrow? Fly to Christ, for He'll give you the rest, the comfort, and the covering that you need to meet Him in the judgment. May you come to the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come on to me and rest. Lay down thy weary soul, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and I found in Him a resting place, and He hath made me glad. Is that your testimony tonight? Restless soul, is it your desire to seek Christ? Is it your desire to find rest, gospel rest? Well, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn to Christ. Cry to Him for mercy. Oh, may God bring you to the Savior. If we can help you, we're here to help. Speak to us at the door. Return into the building when others have left. We'd be glad to take the Word of God and show you how to find the rest and the comfort and the covering that you need for your soul's salvation. Our loving Father, we rejoice, O God, in Thy Word. We praise Thee, Father, that there is a place of rest. We thank Thee for the One who provides it. We thank Thee for all that He did in order to secure and procure it for us. Lord, we pray for the sinner who finds themselves lying on a short bed and finds themselves trying to get some sort of rest with some narrow, small blanket that will never cover them. Oh God, we pray that tonight that they'll cast all aside and that they'll run to the Savior and be saved for time and eternity. Lord, answer prayer. Be with us and take of Thy word, and may signs follow the preaching of it. We pray these our prayers in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you.